All right, so today we're going to be in a different book of the Bible. We're going to be going through Matthew chapter 8. So please turn to Matthew chapter 8. Did I say San Mateo? Capitolo 8, verse 1. We're going to pick up at verse 1, Matthew chapter 8. And I'll give you a heads up. We're going to be in Matthew 8 and also Leviticus chapter 14. It's a little different today. We're going to take our pause going through our Acts series as we prepare to go through this challenge together. So if you have your Bibles, please stand with me. And we're going to start reading from Matthew chapter 8 at verse 1. Matthew chapter 8 at verse 1, it says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Oh, God, we thank you for this wonderful illustration, this picture of this leper. This is like me. This is like us. We all need a cleansing. We need a touch from you. We need a healing. Lord, and as we read about the first leper that was cleansed by you in this New Testament, Lord, we know that you have a message for each of us. Please encourage our hearts, comfort us, and do that cleansing, healing work that only you can do. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So for today and the next couple of weeks, as we get ready for this thing again that we call the 8-Day Growing and Healing Challenge, we're going to be looking at a couple of topics. One of them, like today, we're going to be looking at this thing called leprosy. Now, this is kind of unheard of in today's culture. But just for show of hands, I want to know who I'm talking to. Have any of you guys heard of leprosy? All right. Now, another show of hands. Anybody you know that still exists today? All right, so you guys pretty much know. So today we're going to see the story of when Jesus cleansed the first leper in the New Testament. And again, we're seeing this in Matthew chapter 8. So it says, look at this here, going to verse 2 and 3. "A leper came..." And notice it says, "worshipped him." So even the lepers were told, come to Jesus. They're wanting to worship Jesus. Now, we got to look at this. And I had to, forgive me, this is not for the squeamish. So I'm going to warn you ahead of time. I'm going to show some slides here so you guys can see in Zoom. My son's like, yes. Told you today would be fun, son. But it is a little challenging to look at. So leprosy, it's also called Hansen's disease, it still occurs today around the world. These are just some pictures to help illustrate. It's really sad of what goes on. So leprosy, of course, would attack your nerves, and supposedly it can kind of deaden your skin, the pain that you would feel, so that you can maybe bump into things. Almost like what today happens with people that have diabetes. You hear of like their feet getting sores, their extremities. Well, this is what's happening today, even in places in the United States, but especially in other countries around the world. It still exists today. So what is leprosy? It's a skin disease that renders its victims, according to the Bible, as what is called unclean. So it'll cause nerve damage. You lose sensation. You can't feel certain things, so your fingers can... and extremities can start just getting affected and almost fall off. So you can get repeated injuries. I looked this up on World Health Organization today. As of right now, there were 127,558 new leprosy cases detected globally in 2020. So it's still around. So biblical times, of course, leprosy... You'll find this in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. Leprosy was thought to be extremely contagious. And by the way, what we've gone through these last 2 years, what we call, what's that dirty C word? COVID. And then what happens? Someone has COVID. You got to do what? Social. It's a picture almost what people went through in the world, like leprosy. It's really interesting, right? There's a social stigma attached to that. When I came to Christ, I thought he healed me of social distancing, right? He did. So when we study this, this is what it says in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and it shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. So you had to just shout it out. So if anybody's coming near you, you want to warn them. He shall be unclean. All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell, listen to this, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Social distancing didn't start in March 2020. Okay, so it's been around. We just call this leprosy in the Old Testament time. So he had to dwell alone. He had to dwell outside the camp. How sad that is. Remember when this thing that we call COVID hit, and then everybody's so freaked out, right? You saw these weird pictures. People wearing like hazmat suits going to the market, right? And did anybody see that? Because everybody's freaked out. Nobody knew, like, how is it transmit? Can I get it if I go to the mailbox? Remember those kind of things? And then it was on the news. Okay, so we've all kind of saw that, right? And everybody's freaked out, including me. We're like, okay. You get the mail, go downstairs, we looked at orders, and we look at the packages. What if I get Amazon packages? Well, you know, it's a good way to get your stuff. You see people like wiping it. Here's what you do. It only lasts this amount of time. Then later on we found out that's actually bogus. You don't catch it that way. So there's a lot of social stigma. There's a lot of misinformation, a lot of bad information. Back then, or even now with something like COVID, so I want to submit to you today, though, that leprosy in the Bible was thought of the person as having some sort of sin, and it's a picture, actually, of me and of you, all of us. Okay. So sometimes the sin that we've been in or that was done to us, like my wife Susan shared, her going through child sexual abuse, she was living in her own world. I praise God that she got saved. She started reading the Psalms of how God would be like a father to the fatherless. And she just cried out her heart to God. And she was like 16. She grabbed a guitar. She started writing songs. Because she had nobody to talk to. Not her mom, not her dad. She actually shared, some of you guys don't know this, she shared how she tried to report it to her mom. And in Korean culture, it's like a known, you didn't even talk about that. And they didn't know how to deal with it. And you know, one of the things to not do if your kid tells you, like, you're potentially going through what we call today child sexual abuse, you believe them. And it was more of a matter of, no, shut up, that's not happening to you. You're lying, stop lying. Never tell your kid that. So that, unfortunately, led to this journey where she started drawing inward more and more. And she couldn't talk with anybody, really, but God. I love that in the Bible, but God. So in this Old Testament time, and when Jesus comes on the scene now, I want to submit to you that leprosy is very similar to today, where you and I are simply sinners. And sometimes the things that we go through, they have left us unclean, so to speak. And socially, whether you want to call it social distancing or not, we feel like we're kind of not able to connect with others, like my bride Susan shared. Leviticus 5 verse 3 says about anybody that touches, say, even a leper, if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. So even if you didn't know someone had leprosy and you touched them, now you are rendered unclean. Look at this back in Matthew 8. Verse 3. Now this is the first time Jesus certainly knew the law. Jesus comes on the scene, and this is reportedly the first leper that was cleansed by Jesus now in the New Testament. Now keep in mind, with not just the social stigma that was attached to it, and not just the way that it looked. I mean, think about that too. The doctors were horrible back then. there were a lot of cases, and there's a lot of pictures you can see that are way worse than this. I just picked some that are kind of sanitary for us to see today. But imagine a man that even the other Gospels tell us he was full of leprosy all over his body. Think about this. And even in that time period, nobody got cleansed from leprosy. You've got an Old Testament obscure passage where a Gentile did, but you didn't have times where people got cleansed from leprosy. And yet the priesthood had a whole chapter, Leviticus chapter 14, big chapter, to deal with the law of the day of the leper's cleansing. But nobody ever did it. Nobody. And you'd probably wonder, as you studied scriptures, why is this even there? Because nobody gets cleansed of leprosy. When someone was deemed to have leprosy, it was a death notice. They were unclean. You couldn't even touch them. Leviticus 5, verse 3. Couldn't touch them. Okay. Social distancing we had, you know, people going to the markets with hazmat suits, double masks. Right? Think about that, right? All these kind of things. That's like, I started thinking about that. That's like what must have been at the leprosy times. But way worse than what we did in our markets today. The lepers had to dwell outside the camp. Imagine that. Daughters and moms, sons and moms saying, "Mom, bye. When am I going to see you?" Never again. I could cry thinking about that. Imagine that with our kids, our family members, our friends, co-workers. So this was, it was a death sentence. You couldn't touch anybody. They couldn't touch you. And you really couldn't communicate with anybody. I mean, today, even if someone has leprosy, you could send them text messages. You could do Zoom calls. They didn't have that back then. So the way you communicated was in person, shouting your voice. And you see someone coming, you'd have to cover and say, "Unclean, unclean." To let them know that they're coming to you, and, "Oh, that means that guy's got leprosy. Let's take another path." So everybody be scared. So what we saw, what we call social distancing, when the shutdown happened March 2020, even it's like been 2 years, so we got a tiny taste of maybe what the lepers had to go through. There are still leper colonies today, according to, if it's true and up to date, there are about 1,000 leper colonies in India alone. Still today. Think about that. That's crazy to think of, right? So leprosy had these crazy social effects. It was contagious. So they had to live on the fringes of society. I mean, how would you get food? You couldn't go to the bodega. Couldn't go to Trader Joe's. Couldn't go to Walmart. Couldn't even mask up and go. Couldn't call Amazon, right, to get your stuff sent to you. Couldn't have DoorDash send you meals. How would you get your food? You'd rely upon maybe friends or family, go farm your stuff if you're able to. What if leprosy affected your feet? You can't stand now. Your hands, how are you going to grasp tools to be able to work with and farm with? So sad. So it was a death sentence until Messiah Jesus came. Until Messiah. So they'd be outcast. It was a death sentence. Ultimate social distancing, so to speak. But when a leper was cleansed, know this, the terminology is a little different. Lepers were cleansed. When you got healed from a physical ailment, you were healed. People's eyes were opened up and they got healed. Jesus healed people that couldn't speak, couldn't hear, couldn't see, not able to stand since birth. He healed these people. But when a leper was touched by Jesus, they were cleansed. There was a social stigma attached to it, and also the thought that that person was in sin or someone in their family, and look, God cursed them. So there's a huge social stigma attached to that. All the while, that leper's like you and me. I was just close enough to catch it. Think about that. And then all that guilt that went along with it, and then your family having to say goodbye. Think how sad that would be. I see moms and daughters. Think how sad that would be. You'd never be able to see your daughter or your mom again. Or dads. So throughout this history, of the Bible, it was known that only God could cleanse a person from leprosy. It is even couched that way in Scripture that there was a day, Leviticus chapter 14, that we'll get into in a bit, that lepers would be cleansed. So there was the hope that one day someone, probably Messiah, would come and start cleansing lepers. But the problem was, for century after century, nobody got cleansed from this. Nobody. So there was no hope, again, until Messiah, until Jesus came on the scene. So the Bible records only a couple of people that got cleansed from leprosy. But the point was still clear. Only God could cleanse a person from leprosy. They couldn't do it themselves. Doctors couldn't handle it. Only God could do that. And now Jesus comes on the scene. Remember Leviticus 5:3, you were not supposed to touch a person with leprosy. But why did Jesus touch him? Look at this in verse 3. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus put out his hand, what does it say? And touched him. Did he send him a text? Did he do the Zoom call? Wait a second, didn't this render Jesus unclean? He said, I am willing, be cleansed. Notice, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. No, because as soon as Jesus touched the guy, instant cleansing, instant healing. If he touched the guy and then the guy didn't get cleansed, then yeah, he would have broken the law. Amazing how Messiah is like that. And this is recorded by the Bible, this is the first leper that was cleansed by Messiah Jesus. He touched the guy, as he touched him, immediately the guy was cleansed. You guys remember the story later on where 10 lepers come to him? At one time, think about this, 10 people come to Jesus at once. They're crying, Master, have mercy on us. He didn't touch them, but he tells them, go show yourself to the priest. I'm paraphrasing the story. And as they went, they were cleansed. He gives them a word. They obey his word. As they go, they're cleansed. This guy, he reaches out and he touches the person. He doesn't touch. And then sometime later, that leper gets cleansed immediately. So as he touches him, immediately the cleansing occurs. Jesus didn't even break the law. He didn't become a sinner. He fulfilled the law, Leviticus 5:3, because that's important to know, because people will debate this and say, oh, look, he should have touched the leper. When he did, he now became unable to be a perfect sacrifice because he broke Torah. Oh, look at what Matthew records. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I love the fact that it's there because Matthew was probably an eyewitness, right? Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And then notice what he tells him in the next verse. Matthew 8, verse 4. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Notice what it says. Notice these last five words. What does it say? As a testimony to them. There's something huge going on right now within the Bible that we got to take a look at. So we're going to pause here. He says, show yourself to the priest. Okay. Before he does, though, he says, see that you tell no one. I mean, that was huge, right? Think about this. But by the way, let's take a step back. Nobody ever got cleansed from leprosy. Imagine you being that leper. It's not just masking up 6 feet of distance, like social distancing when you go to the market, when you go to the bodega, wherever you're at. This is living on the outskirts of society. You couldn't even live at home anymore with your wife, your husband, anybody. Imagine that. No hope at all. And then you thrust yourself into the shoes and the life of this leper. I imagine maybe, because the Bible says in another passage, he had leprosy all over his body. He's full of leprosy. And I imagine him now maybe kind of hobbling up to Jesus. If you're willing, you can cleanse me. I am willing. Be cleansed. And he reaches out and touches him. But we forget the faith of this leper because nobody ever got cleansed. It's not that he heard a story of some other leper and then his buddy say, call him, I don't know, Bob, hanging out in the leper colony. Bob's like, hey, dude, this guy came to town. We told that he's the Messiah. He just cleansed me. You should go too. He didn't hear of a story to give him hope, to inspire and encourage him. He knew there's no hope. But God can cleanse a leper. So we look at the faith of this guy too, even before this. He must have had huge faith. I don't know, how would you say that in Espanol? Huge faith. Mucho fe. Mucho fe. He had a lot of faith. But Jesus tells him, see that you tell no one. We won't get into this later on, but right now, but later on you can go and read in the other parallel passages in the other Gospels. Well, let's just take a quick survey. How many of you, when you were the first leper to be cleansed ever, Jesus says, see that you tell no one, you're not going to tell anybody. How many of you would listen to that? How many of you would like, I'm going to go home, tell my mom, I'm going to tell my son? Is that, that would be me. You can't really blame the guy, right? So that's what he did. And because of that, Jesus had to kind of hide. Because like, what? Leprosy? Nobody gets cleansed from that. No, my boy, you're home. And so he tells him, see that you tell no one. He didn't really listen to that. He says, show yourself to the priest. Show yourself to the priest. That's a crazy command. Show yourself to the priest. Why? Because, you see, the priests live in this closed community. They were of the tribe of what? Tribe of Levi. Which family in that tribe? You guys remember? Aaron, the family of Aaron. And they were supposed to be. Even Matthew Levi. He could have been perhaps a priest, but he's the tax collector. I wrote the book according to the gospel according to Matthew. So they lived in kind of like this close society. It's kind of a picture of you and me, today's new covenant priests. So the Old Testament priests, they were in this closed community. They really wouldn't connect much with the non-priests. They were the sanctified life, the holy life. They were priests. Picture of you and me now through Jesus Christ. He's a great high priest, and we're the priests supporting him in this new covenant time. So in that little community they lived in, they wouldn't get much, let's say, interaction with outsiders, even those in the other tribes, so to speak. Why? Because we want to remain holy and pure and not unclean. Because I got a duty next month to go into the temple and fulfill my priestly duties. So they lived out and walked a life. It's kind of a picture of how you and I are in this New Testament time. But he says, go show yourself to the priest. How is Jesus going to give a message to the priesthood that Messiah is here? You see, so he cleanses this guy, and he wants to use him as a communication tool to speak to the priesthood. Go show yourself to the priest. Crazy command, right? Go show yourself to the priest. Later on, if you're taking notes, there's a ripple effect, because as Jesus starts cleansing people of leprosy, sending them in, telling them to go show yourself to the priest, and on one time, a whole boatload, 10 of them go, they wouldn't miss that message, because the priests would study and memorize even Leviticus chapter 14, but nobody in all of history had ever done the commands, those laws in Leviticus 14. And then again, at one time, 10 of them come into the temple. Imagine that. Imagine the buzz that went around within the inner news, so to speak, with the priesthood. Hey, did you hear what happened today? What? 10 lepers came in and they got cleansed. No, get out of here. Yeah, we didn't even know what to do because nobody's done that. Nobody believed it. But all 10 of them came. And imagine that. One by one, people started to come in. There's a ripple effect. In Acts 6, verse 7, after the resurrection of Jesus and after he ascended, it says, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests, listen to that, a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I'll tell you one reason why they're obedient, because when they're in the temple fulfilling their duties, they would see Messiah's effect, that ripple effect. Hey, so that's like you and me. As Messiah reaches out and cleanses and heals you and me and uses you as his communication tool, maybe to reach even other Jews or Gentiles like me. There's a ripple effect that maybe even after your time in your relationship, your friendship with them, maybe it won't impact them now, but later on. You find that ripple effect with Jesus and these lepers hitting the priest in Acts 6. A great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. You didn't see that with the Sadducees. You do see that with this group called the priests. Let's continue on. Notice he says here in verse 4, after show yourself to the priests, he says, offer the gift that Moses commanded. Offer the gift that Moses commanded? That's so crazy. So again, you put these things together. This man was full of leprosy. That's Luke 5 verse 12. Also, he called Jesus Lord. Notice that in verse 2. Judas Iscariot never called Jesus Lord. He asked Jesus if you are willing. That's also in verse 2 here. Jesus reached out, put his hand and touched him. That's in verse 3. So as he cleanses this guy, let me say at this juncture, got a question for you. What if Jesus wants to also use you as his communication tool? Maybe not a leper back then, but as a cleansed, healed person now today. I'll tell you this much. My opinion is yes. He does want to use each and every one of you as his communication tool. He could have gone to the temple and said, I'm here, Messiah's here. But that's not his way. He wants to cleanse and heal someone and use you to communicate for him. He didn't reach the priests at this time directly. He reached them indirectly, using the heart, the mouth, the life, the testimony of the person he touched and cleansed and healed. I think he wants to do that with you and me today. Amen? He wants to do that. Will you allow him to? That your cleansed and healed life would give testimony what Jesus can do. So as we go through this, guys, and this will be brief today. As we go through this, so I want you to ponder, am I that leper that you touched, Jesus, and you cleansed and you healed? And now you want to use my life as your communication tool to go and do your work. Because Jesus could have just gone in. He could have brought the guy with him. I'm going to bring you because you're my fruit. And I'll give testimony that Messiah is here. He doesn't show off like that. He's going to use your changed life. Allow him to. By the way, that story of the 10 lepers, you'll find that Luke 17, verses 12 through 19. Luke 17, 12 through 19. By the way, that story of the 10 lepers, you guys know that story. Jesus cleansed 10 lepers. He didn't touch them. He tells them, go show yourself to the priests. Same thing. Like, I want to, they're not getting the message. I'm going to send 10 of you. Like, imagine that. They'd be freaking out. Like, what is going on here? It's never happened in all recorded history since the earth was formed by God in Genesis 1. They're not getting the message. I'm going to send 10 of you. You guys remember the story? How many came back to give glory? One. Uno. 10%. What if only 1 out of 10 Christians want to obey God in their calling? What if only 1 out of 10 Christians, 10%, want to give glory to God, obey the commands of Christ, and be his communication tool? Okay, only 1 out of 10. It was so astounding to Jesus. He actually says, wasn't there 10 of you? Why is it only you come back? I'm paraphrasing the story. But that's me. So perhaps only 10% of the people that are touched and cleansed and healed by Jesus will ever serve him, will ever give glory to God, will ever want to be his communication tool. That's kind of true today. But I don't know about you. I want to be that 1 out of 10. Anybody else want to be that 1 out of 10? He wants to use your life. Let him use your life. That's me. I am nobody, but my Messiah is. So how would the Jews know that Messiah had arrived? God had hidden this chapter in the Bible. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 14, if we could. God had tucked away in Leviticus chapter 14 in what's called Torah. Torah means law. In the Jewish law, there was these laws of the day of the leper's cleansing in Leviticus chapter 14. God made a provision within the law that when a leper was cleansed, there was this lengthy procedure, this huge procedure they would go through. But the problem was with this law, nobody got cleansed. It was never used. It was probably ridiculous. I imagine the kids and even the priests studying this in school, why do we even study this? Hey, nobody gets healed. Nobody gets cleansed of this. I don't know. Shut up. Just do your homework. I'd imagine it being like that because there's nobody that can give comment. I even read a Jewish commentary on this called the Rashi commentary. It's orthodox. It's not what, you know, you and I as messianic people would believe in. And it's almost comical in a way how they'll treat it. It's like extremely detailed. You know, big tree had to be used in the cleansing and ceremony to show how big, you know, God is and how little you are. These kind of things are mentioned. But they just didn't know that Messiah, Jesus, had come to fulfill this. So the problem with this law was that priests never used it. And when Jesus cleansed this leper, I want you to know, hear me out here, folks. When Jesus cleansed this leper, it was strategic. It was strategic. There was a strategy that Jesus had when he cleansed the leper. When he cleansed 10 lepers and sent them in, that was a strategy. When Jesus cleanses your life and heals you, there's a strategy that he wants you to do. Know that, please understand. I know this from my life, I'm barely discovering it, but I know that's his reason why he cleansed me and healed me and restored my life, is that I would be that 1 out of 10 lepers to come back, give glory to God, thank him for it. This guy goes back and thanks him. 90% won't thank Jesus. Think about that. It's kind of true today even. He wanted to give glory to God, and God wanted to use his life. So each of you, if you want to be that 1 out of 10 like me, there's a strategy that God has in your cleansing and your healing. It's because he wants to use you as his communication tool. So in Leviticus 14, we're going to read. I'm going to splash it up here on the display too. Verse 1, Leviticus 14, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 living and clean birds. We'll come back to that. 2 birds. 2 living and clean birds. Cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that, notice, one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Look at this analogy. 2 birds. One would be killed. Who do you think that's a picture of? It's a picture of Jesus Christ. Notice how the bird was killed. In an earthen vessel. I could cry thinking how eerie this is and how accurate. Jesus came to live in an earthen vessel. You and I call that his body, right? God Almighty left heaven, birthed into this earth, put on a body of flesh and became like his creation. We called him Yeshua, or Jesus, the Messiah, knowing that he had to be killed in an earthen vessel. This was a picture of the coming Messiah, that he would be the bird that was killed, and we'll see what happens with the other one. And then verse 6, this is what it says, as for the living bird, the one that's not killed, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Verse 7, and he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Think of how beautiful this picture is. Now, I underline some of these phrases in these verses in verse 6 and 7. The living bird was dipped in the blood. There was water that was there. The blood from the bird that was killed, it was bled out into this container of water. So now the living bird, which is a picture of that leper that got cleansed, the living bird is dipped into that blood. Guys, what is that? That living bird that got dipped into that blood, what's that a picture of? Who's a living bird a picture of?
Us.
not just the leper then, you and me, dipped into the blood of the one that was killed. It's a picture of you and me, and when we're dipped into the blood, we have his blood applied to us. And then verse 7, look at this. The leper would be there while the ceremony is going on, and because this had never been done, this is not recorded in the Bible, but I know that this would have been. That the whole priesthood, however many hundreds of priests there would be, I'd imagine they'd all be gathered around because this was been a huge ceremony. They didn't have the news cameras like we do now, but you'd imagine the buzz around the temple. Someone got cleansed from leprosy. They didn't know what to do. They'd have to unroll the scroll, look at Leviticus, go to chapter 14, and like, what do we do? I've never done this before. Have you? No. Nobody in all of recorded history since the earth was created, nobody's done this. And you'd imagine the other priests being there. It's like, you go, I don't want to be the priest to do this. I'm going to mess up. Everybody's watching. So you'd imagine all eyes being attentive on this ceremony. I imagine, because it's a huge deal, the leper being there, and then now you take this and it's splashed on him. It's like, so this guy was involved. There's no Zoom. It's not far away. He was there present in person. And this was sprinkled on him, the blood and the water, sprinkled on this guy. It's crazy to think of. So the bird was symbolic of him, but now it's physically applied to him. And notice, what was he having to do all the years of his life up until this point? When someone else was coming to him, you cover your mustache, and what did you have to scream out? Unclean, unclean. In other words, stay away. Today you might say social distance. 6 feet away, bro. Unclean, unclean. And now an authority figure, a priest on behalf of God says, clean. If that guy wasn't busting out in tears before then, which he probably was, you now imagine like the tears coming down. I'm just doing that, just imagining this. And shall let the living bird loose in the open field. I'm calling this free bird. Because when the leper got cleansed, similar to when you and I are touched by Jesus and cleansed and healed by him, this is you, man. You're that free bird. And imagine that. I just imagine the leper seeing the bird, the free one, the one that got dipped in the blood. The bird probably like, what's going on here, man? You dip it in the water and the blood, and then I got to get out of here. And then the hands let the bird go. I imagine, as the leper sees that bird fly out in the field, I imagine, yeah, the Lord just speaking to him, saying, that's you. That's you. And so, oh, I'm sorry, guys. This is just such a beautiful passage. This is me. I think this is us. So the leper got to see the free bird fly, and it's as if the Lord would remind him, that's you. I'm going to set you free. So Jesus and his sacrificial blood, because it was applied to you, you are now a free bird. It's not about who you are, but about who Jesus Messiah is. And it's not about what you've done or what you can do, but about his work as he died on the cross for your sins and poured out his blood. Just like that living bird did nothing. It was probably just freaking out when it was dipped in the blood and the water. But then it got to fly free. He did nothing but have the blood and the water applied to him. Just like the leper did nothing. But we do see he did have faith though. If you're willing, Lord, you can cleanse me. So Jesus will cleanse and heal you. And then what happens? Now you're a free bird. And check this out. Verse 8 going on in Leviticus 14. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair. It was literally, I even read this in Jewish commentary. It wasn't all the hair on the body. What if the guy's really, really hairy? What about his back? No, really the exposed hair, like the head, the beard, the mustache, and even the eyebrows. So you would see socially, it's like, dude, you kind of look like a baby. Exactly. Think about this. Shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. So he's not to go home and be with his wife. He's got to chill out. All right. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, and all his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. So guys, this was a lengthy ceremony. There is no way, no chance that all the priests, including the leadership there in Jerusalem, there's no chance that they didn't hear and know about this. It wasn't just like a line of people, next, why are you here? Oh, I need this kind of offering. Next, why are you here? Oh, I've been cleansed of leprosy. Next. It would have been, excuse me? Cleansed of leprosy? No. Prove it to me. Well, I brought my mom. This wouldn't happen. So the word would have spread, and God had it within the law that there was a span of time, not just the practicality to check to make sure this person a week later still was not having leprosy on him or her, but was lengthy enough to get word spread around. You know that everybody would have heard about this. So this person cleansed from leprosy would wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water. On the seventh day, he once again would wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash his body in water. And that doesn't mean take a shower or bath only once a week. Okay, but what's the picture? The picture you get is like through Jesus Christ, you and I become born again. What if this guy was 80 years old and he's got a big, huge beard? Cut it all off. Even his eyebrows. So even socially, externally, this person now is not known as a leper, but cleansed. It's a picture of a new life, a new birth, just like a baby. Beautiful picture. Maybe some babies come out with like a big full head of hair though, right? But this was a picture of being born again. This is a picture of you and me. You can read the rest of the chapter later on to get more context out of this. Again, going back to Matthew and into the New Testament, just to close here, and we're going to have a time of communion for those that want to partake as a family. Every first Sunday of the month, we go to communion. But guys, as we go through, up into and through this thing that we call the 8-day growing and healing challenge, just like this leper had to go through this whole ceremony of 8 days, a whole week. You know, I love the fact that we're going to go through this as well during this time. But like the leper was cleansed, like he was healed, like people get healed. Even Isaiah 61 that we looked at this morning, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He's here now and he wants to heal the broken hearts. He's done that with me and so many of us. And I believe he wants to keep doing that with each and every one of us. Amen. And let's keep in mind, again, the ripple effect, the far-reaching effects of Jesus cleansing one person. And then later on, he keeps cleansing more and more. Because he wants you to be his communication tool. Again, in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. As the priests keep getting more and more messages of Messiah here and seeing and hearing not just a message, but seeing the effect of Messiah upon other people's lives, it helped them to believe. Again, Acts 6 verse 7 says, a great many of the priests. What if God uses you like the cleansed leper? What if God uses you to be that 1 out of 10 to give glory to God, to come back and say, thank you, Jesus, and commissions you that you would be a source of light, of hope to others, that they're still like a leper, unclean. Would you want to be used by God that way? I know I would. Let's all stand, please. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer, and then we can partake of communion for those that want to partake. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for these lepers that had enough faith to come to you. And, oh, Lord, we want to be like this leper. He had no hope, no chance to live. It was a death sentence. There were no other stories at that time of you healing and cleansing lepers. And he knew that there was no chance. But he had a glimmer of hope. He had enough faith to come to you and say, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And so, Lord, we lift our hearts to you. We ask, Lord. We come to you by faith asking, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse us. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. You loved the world so much you gave your only Son, Jesus, the Messiah, who died on the cross for all of our sins, rose from the grave. You did this so that we would have eternal life through you and not have to burn in the fires of hell and even the lake of fire for all eternity. You did this for us. We're like the bird, the living bird that got dipped in the blood and then let free. We're that free bird through Jesus, Messiah, the one who died on the cross for all of our sins. You're our Savior. And we declare you as a Lord of our lives. Use our lives to be a testimony so that others, whether like the priests or even other lepers, others and family and friends, others around us, that you would commission us, that our lives, not just the words, but our lives would be a testimony of how you've cleansed us and healed us. Please keep doing that for your glory, for our growth. Help us, Lord, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.